Hello, welcome everyone to Release Your Wings. I'm here this morning with Ken O'Donnell, who is the coordinator of the Brahma Kumaris for the whole of South America. He's been a student and practitioner of Raja Yoga for almost 40 years, and I would also say he has been a great fan of experimentation in yoga, which come up with very interesting perspective. Professionally, he's a strategic planner. He travels all over the world, both on business and teaching experiments in meditation. And our topic today, a very interesting topic, success begins in the mind. So Ken, thank you for joining us today. Welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Nice to see you, Mary.
Yeah, so I was thinking, just as we were starting this topic, success begins in the mind, I had this thought that I want us to have a very successful conversation and all of the viewers to have a very successful experience. So what exactly is success? What would make our conversation successful and the viewers experience successful?
Well, you know, let's say you've written a class up on a whiteboard, and then the next day you write on the whiteboard again without rubbing off the yesterday's lesson. Mm-hmm. And then on the third day you you write another class, and after, you know, you can't understand anything. So when we ever have a meaningful conversation, it's absolutely important to remove the clutter, you know, just sort of, and be open, you know, be open. The mind has to be sort of receptive and open and attentive, and, you know, not sort of held in the past by something or the other, or, you know, just easy and free. Mm-hmm. And then if we're looking for meaning, and both of us are looking for meaning in the conversation, then it'll be an interesting flow. And that's exactly what dialogue is, a dialogue, the meaning. The meaning of the word is the flow of meaning. Mm. So we're going to have a flow of meaning.
Very nice. So there are definitely different types of success. For example, one person might say, success for me is marrying well and having brilliant children. And somebody else might say, success is eliminating all my business competition. And a third person might say, success is reducing fossil fuel consumption in my city. So do you, when you understand success, do you see that there are different qualities or level of success, or are we just talking about any kind of success?
Yeah, it's true. There are different dimensions of success and different aims also that people have. Some people, their be-all and end-all of their life is to have wealth or to have a position, or, you know. And so really they pursue the have verb. Mm-hmm. Some, of course, would think that they'd like to have a beautiful world or a clean atmosphere or whatever, or a better government. So they pursue that, and so they have something. So you've got success related to the verb have, and you've got also success related to the verb do, you know. And of course, in the world where most of us are workaholics, people try to get their success by doing something. And of course, Einstein once said that a very good definition of insanity is to repeat what you're doing again and again and expect a different result. You know, so you've got people who are like human havings, and you've got others that are like human doings. Mm-hmm. But I guess the real essence of success is when you're a human being, that you're able to be what you want to be, wherever you want to be, that you're able to put yourself into a situation or a state, internal state, according to the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so, personally, I prefer this last one, the last verb. But I'm not saying that it's wrong to pursue haves or it's wrong to pursue do's, but to be a better human being seems to me the best way to look at success.
And perhaps this is ultimately the success that everyone is looking for. So I like this approach that our conversation is taking, and I'm just wondering now, so if this is how we're talking about success, if success begins in the mind, then failure also would begin in the mind, would it not? And so what kind of a mind would I need in order to foster success?
I think in the beginning I said about clarity and openness, there's another aspect too, that there has to be resilience. Mm. So that if the mind is a springboard for action and for getting things done and, you know, arriving at places that people would like to arrive at or to achieve, the mind internally, it can't be a swamp. If you're going to use it as a launching pad, it has to be, and also not too taut or either, you know. If it's too tense, then you jump on like a trampoline and, you know, to spring out into something greater. Mm-hmm. If it's too taut, you may you know, break the trampoline. Mm-hmm. And if it's too spongy, then, you know, you won't go very far. So these are, you know, the internal state has to be resilient, not too tense, not too sloppy. Mm-hmm. And there also has to be some good intention behind that. You know, electricity needs two things in order to move from one place to the other. One is a magnetic field. Mm-hmm. If there's no magnetic field, electricity can't travel. And the other is an impulse. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, we're jumping into the future when we're talking about success. We're jumping into the future. And so the future is a big field of possibilities. We don't know what's going to happen. But there are two things. We create the field. We actually interfere with the future by our sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And purpose means, why do I do what I do? Why am I going to go after that? So if my purpose is a little bit more unlimited, this is what Goethe said, that the universe conspires in the favor of such a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, if it is going beyond my own ego, if my purpose to serve others beyond my own nose or beyond my own little circle of friends and family, then it's like the universe is applauding. Huh? This is what we want. Now, if my purpose is egoistic, then of course, first of all, no other ego is going to cooperate, because egos don't tend to cooperate with other egos, right? So my sense of purpose sort of plays around with the future and sort of cleans out possibilities. It's as if there's a big brush in front of me which is actually painting the road ahead of me. You know, mm-hmm. Purpose works like that. It's like, you can imagine a brush sticking out in the future, painting the road, so I can follow behind. Now, the impulse is the intention. Mm-hmm. So if purpose is why I want to do something, why do I want to achieve something, the impulse is what's the intention behind it. Mm-hmm. So why do I want that? You know, what is it, what do I get out of it, you know? So if my intention is to sort of beat others, go ahead of others, destroy the opposition, you know, and sort of become the victorious one, and I'm the one there in the front, you know, that's not a very good intention in a sense. And you'll have all sorts of obstacles, which are in fact the obstacles that come are just the reflections of our own desires. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but if your intention is more pure, let's say more clean, and you really want this for the good of the world, you really want this because for the good of the people around you, you really want this thing so that it helps others understand or helps others grow, then you're going to get a very good sort of ride, let's say. You're actually guaranteeing the success.
Good. So now I'm thinking, there's pure intention and there's also ego. So we have, for example, in the US, we've had a huge debate over how to improve our healthcare system. And perhaps everybody started with a pure intention, but it came into a clash of egos. What happens within the mind that can prevent me from taking my pure intention, but my ego hijacking it?
Yeah, well, first of all, ego is not the problem, it's the sort of ego that I have, you know. So I can remember that The word ego in Greek means I. So if you say in Greek, I'm going to the bank, you say ego, going to the bank. So it's not the I which is the problem, but which is the sort of I that I am. So one, let's say the little ego is I am so-and-so, I did this, I'm from this party, I'm from that group, I'm from this clan, I'm from this family, I studied at Harvard, I studied at Stanford, you know. It's that sort of limiting sort of sense of ego which sort of imprisons us in a sense. So if you've got a bunch of people imprisoned by their egos, they stop seeing the bigger picture. And they stop even seeing the reason why they got together in the first place. So you can see that in a conflict. You got little Johnny crying in the corner, a six-year-old kid, and mum and dad are having it out in the kitchen, you know, bashing into each other. And little Johnny saying, "Mom, Dad, don't do this." And of course they can't even hear little Johnny. They've forgotten why they got together in the first place. They've forgotten that they have something in common. So ego will always hijack good intentions if you forget why you got together in the first place, what you have in common. And that's the basis of the word communication. In Latin, communicare means to share what you have in common, at least to see what you have in common. The half of the word is common, communicare. So why are we together? What are we to do as a human race? Well, you know, if we can think of the collective and what the collective needs and what is relevant for the collective, then the intention has a greater chance of cutting through the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So now let's go back to Mom and Dad and Johnny. And they have to earn a living. They have to take care of Johnny's emotional needs, his education. They have to pay all of their bills. And perhaps their intentions are pretty much centered in the family. Is that an okay intention, or do we need to have intentions for the whole world?
At least the intention should be bigger than me. Mm. You know. So if I really have the intention, it's like, what is the home, you know? There are, there's the home here, right? The word ecology comes from oikos in Greek also, Greek, so such a source of so many things. Oikos means house. So there are lots of houses. So one house is here, the other house is the body, the other house is the house where we live, then the house of the city, the house of the country. It's perfectly possible to think of bigger houses than my own house while I'm looking after my own house. But you know, even if I'm really got, if I really have the welfare of others in mind when I do something, and not go back to my own frustrations and my own upsets and my own little thinking that I've been through this and why can't you understand me? You know, can't you see it? Why don't you understand the things the way I understand? You know, that sort of pettiness breaks down or reduces the intention back to, you know, sort of a pea size.
So thank you, Ken. I really feel that my mind has been cleared. It was opened up. I got new ideas and new inspiration. And I would say that on the basis of this, I feel that I had a successful conversation. And I think our viewers, in their own way, experience that openness and that new way of seeing things and this happiness, really, that comes from success.
Thank you. That's where it starts. So good luck to everyone, and thanks for a loving, meaningful conversation. Mm-hmm.